Welcome to the Liberators Network podcast. My name is Christian Verwijs, and in today's episode we'll explore the question if Scrum and Agile only work for small organizations. This is an in-depth episode, which means that we'll make use of scientific evidence, and we will also explore some data that we collected ourselves. But before diving into the episode, I want to take a moment to thank our patrons. These are the people who are supporting our content, which includes this podcast, with a monthly donation. They also make it possible to do scientific research, so your support is very much appreciated. If you're interested to help us, you can go to patreon.com/liberators to learn more. In return for your support, you gain access to updates, you also gain access to our Discord community, you get a lot of digital content for free that is not otherwise available for free, and we also give you a nice discount when you're going to try Columnity, the tool that we're creating to help teams improve continuously based on data and scientific insights. But having said all that, let's dive into the meat of today's episode. Enjoy! Does Scrum and Agile only work in small organizations? A common belief among Agile practitioners, and it includes myself, is that Scrum and Agile work best in smaller organizations. This belief is also often expressed by people who work in large organizations and just don't see it work there or in any other large organization. Together with my partner Barry Overeem, I've been fortunate to teach, mentor, and coach Scrum teams in many different organizations, from small to very large. I personally believe, based on that experience, that Scrum and Agile work better in smaller organizations. Things just seem simpler there, with fewer dependencies, less red tape, and a stronger let's get it done attitude. Larger organizations, to me at least, seem to suffer more from zombie Scrum than smaller organizations. At the same time, this is just my personal belief, and it's probably biased because most of my personal experience as a member of Scrum and Agile teams originates from smaller to medium-sized organizations. Fortunately, this belief that Scrum and Agile only work in smaller organizations is something that we can actually test against evidence. There are scientific studies that have investigated this question, and we also have a ton of data from our Scrum Team Survey and Columnity tools that we can use to address this question. So let's see what the evidence has to say. But before we continue, I think it's important to make a few notes about our own data. While we will be using other scientific studies in this podcast as well, there is also a sample that we built ourselves through the Scrum Team Survey or Columnity. This is a tool that we're creating to help teams improve continuously based on data and scientific insights. The way this works is quite simple. Teams go to columnity.com, they can try the free version, fill in the questionnaire, and then it can be distributed among members of the team and also the stakeholders and supporters of the teams. The great thing about this is that teams get a detailed report with feedback, which is based on data and scientific insights, and it gives them a lot of feedback on what they can improve and where to improve, because as you all know, it's not always easy to know how to actually improve something. The good thing about this data collection is that we can also use this data for scientific research, which is what we're doing also in this episode. The sample that we used consists of 1,963 Scrum and Agile teams, and this represents a total of 5,273 team members. So it's important to note that not all teams had multiple participants. For some teams, just one person, typically a Scrum Master or a lead developer or something like that, participated. But we do have a lot of teams where multiple or all members participated. We also cleaned the sample from fake and careless responses. We also corrected for social desirability where this was relevant. Our sample includes teams from all sectors, all sizes, and regions in the world. Now, a clear strength of this data set is that it is drawn from a tool that teams actually use to drive continuous improvement, so there is a reason for them to be honest. And this is a little different from most survey research, where teams are sent a survey, but the survey doesn't do anything else. I mean, they just have to fill it in, send it back, and that's it. But in this case, tools actually get feedback and meaningful results, so it's also in their interest to be as honest as possible. It's also important to note, finally, that we performed the scientific study with Professor Daniel Russo from the University of Aalborg. There is more research that we've done together with him, and you can find more about this in the footnotes. But having prefaced the data set a little bit, let's move on to our core findings. Finding one, Scrum and Agile are used by organizations of varying sizes. As I mentioned, our dataset consists of about 2,000 Scrum and Agile teams from all over the globe, and the first question we can answer is if Scrum and Agile are indeed more prevalent in certain sizes of organizations. Now, if we plot this in a figure, and the figures are in a blog post that this episode is based on, if you want to take a look at them, but what we can clearly see is that there is a pretty good spread across different sizes. So what we've done is we've put all the organizations in different buckets. So you have a bucket of 1 to 50 employees. We have one for 51 to 500. We also have 500, 1 to 5,000. And we also have more than 5,000 employees. So that's a very large organization. We can clearly see that Scrum and Agile are used across all sizes. About a third of the teams work in average-sized organizations, which means they have between 50 and 500 employees. But a quarter also works in 500 to 5,000 employee organizations, but also very large, which is over 5,000. Now, our dataset may not be entirely representative, but the version 1 report from 2021 also suggests a pretty even spread, although their buckets for organization sizes are a little different and they summarize participants and not teams. However, for the purpose of this podcast, we can conclude that Scrum and Agile are indeed used in organizations of any size. Finding 2. There are no meaningful differences in Scrum team effectiveness across different organizational sizes. The second test we can perform is to see if teams in different organizational sizes score differently on the core factors of effective teams. We performed a scientific investigation together with Professor Daniel Russo to identify the 5 core factors that make effective work in Agile and Scrum teams. And these are continuous improvement, team autonomy, stakeholder concern, responsiveness, and management support. The results from a statistical test that's called an ANOVA actually show a mixed result. We do see some significant differences for some of the factors, except for team autonomy. Now, interestingly, a trend in the results seems to be that large organizations, between 500 and 5,000 employees, seem to do a little better on every factor. So teams in very large organizations actually score a little higher on responsiveness, stakeholder concern, management support, team autonomy, and continuous improvement. However, the observed differences are also very small, usually around 0.1 or 0.10 on a scale from 1 to 7. So that's not really super meaningful. We can tell also from the error bars that are in our results that the scores do vary a lot from team to team. But this is apparently due to other factors. That also means, and that makes sense, that there are many other factors that we're not measuring that also influence the results, aside from just organization size, but that makes a lot of sense. Of particular note are also the errors for management support, which are much larger than for the other factors. This means that the level of management support varies much more strongly than the other factors that we measure in the Columnity and Scrum Team survey tools. We also performed a secondary analysis by regressing organization size on the effectiveness of their teams with a technique called linear regression. This allows us to tell if the organization size meaningfully predicts even a small part of how effective teams are in practice. But this regression was not significant. The p-value of it was beyond 0.5, so it's not significant. That means that there is no substantial effect. So what does that mean? In a general sense, organization size alone does not make a substantial difference to the 5 core processes that make Scrum and Agile teams effective. Teams are not more or less autonomous in large organizations compared to smaller ones. Neither are they more or less responsive, more or less engaged in continuous improvement, more or less engaged with their stakeholders, and also the support that teams receive from management isn't meaningfully different based on organization size alone. This means that my personal belief that Scrum and Agile work better in smaller organizations is on shaky ground. It's not supported by the evidence. But how do the stakeholders themselves feel about the outcomes they receive? Here too, I would expect better results for smaller organizations. We will explore this question next. Finding 3. Stakeholders are more satisfied in large organizations than in smaller or even larger organizations. One of the nice things about the Scrum Team Survey and Columnity is that we allow teams to invite their stakeholders to evaluate their satisfaction with the quality of the outcomes that teams produce for them. It's important to note that by stakeholders, we mean users and customers. We do not mean internal stakeholders who are only professionally involved but do not have an actual stake in what teams are producing for them. One of the things that teams can do is share a special survey with their stakeholders, and this survey measures 4 dimensions: quality, responsiveness, release frequency, and team value. We always encourage teams to actually invite their stakeholders because it's a great way to get a more objective view on how satisfied they are. If you only ask teams themselves how satisfied they think that stakeholders are with their outcomes, then usually that's quite different from the actual satisfaction. In fact, we ran an analysis on this, and I think the correlation is about 0.5 or 0.6. So that means that if teams think their stakeholders are satisfied, the direction is usually okay. So usually stakeholders are satisfied, but the satisfaction is quite a bit lower than what teams predict. But it's also sometimes the other way around, so that's interesting. We were able to analyze the results from about 900 unique stakeholders who evaluated the outcomes of 245 Scrum and Agile teams. 49% of those represented users of what teams produced, 28% represented customers, and 22 represented internal stakeholders in some capacity. So this could be a manager or maybe someone from marketing or sales. This pattern was roughly similar for stakeholders of all sizes in each organizational size. So there's no bias in, for example, that in very large organizations you only have internal stakeholders, whereas small organizations only have users and customers who are evaluating team outcomes. Again, we performed a statistical technique called an analysis of variance, or ANOVA, to test if stakeholders evaluate the outcomes differently for different sized organizations. Now, this is where we get some really interesting results. First of all, the satisfaction of stakeholders with each of the areas is statistically different between organizational sizes. And when I say significant, I mean an alpha of 0.05 or lower. The 4 areas that we measured were quality, responsiveness, team value, and release frequency. So we do see significant differences with satisfaction there. Whereas the previous analyses yielded tiny differences, we actually see more pronounced differences here. Stakeholders are clearly more satisfied with the outcomes of Scrum and Agile teams in larger organizations than they are in smaller or even larger organizations. At the same time, we see that stakeholder satisfaction is a lot lower in small organizations. This is about 1 to 50 employees, between 0.5 and 0.7 points on a 1 to 7 scale. In fact, small organizations score lower than even very large organizations, which have more than 5,000 employees, except for release frequency, where satisfaction is typically a little bit lower. This is a very surprising result, particularly because there seems to be an optimal size, which is the large organization. This is between 500 and 5,000 employees. Now, what could explain this? First, it is possible that such organizations simply have a better mix of resources, technologies, skills, and opportunities for teams to excel. Smaller organizations, where most of my experience is based, may lack such a mix, whereas even larger organizations may be much more bureaucratic and constrain the use of such resources. This, of course, assumes that bureaucracy increases as organizations become larger, which is actually also supported by scientific studies. You can look at Grinier and Yasai Ardekani from 2017 to read more about this. I can also relate to this from my own experience. For the small companies I worked for, even for the Liberators that I'm working for now, it was always a struggle to get funding and licenses for the proper CI/CD tooling. Since money was tight, we often had to make do with what we had. At the same time, I often found such tooling available at large organizations, but they were restricted to particular departments or they were hidden beyond complex procedures. Second, it is also possible that teams in smaller organizations more frequently deal with external stakeholders, who may be more critical than internal stakeholders, even though internal stakeholders are users or internal customers. Finally, it is entirely likely that larger organizations of more than 500 employees more frequently resort to scaling approaches to scale work across multiple teams, which may also influence their results. In any case, the effect is actually positive, particularly for large but not very large organizations. It's also important to note that we ran a statistical analysis to compare scaling approaches, and we did not find any meaningful differences between those. So that's also something that you might want to explore. Finding 4. Scientific studies show mixed results, but mostly see more challenges for larger organizations. To our knowledge, there are no scientific studies that have specifically compared team performance and key processes by organization size. However, several studies have shed a light on how agile methods like Scrum perform in organizations of different sizes, as well as common challenges that they face. These studies allow us to understand our results better. In contrast with our findings, several studies have pointed out that large organizations struggle more with agile methodologies like Scrum. Mishra et al. In 2021 investigated the issues that are faced when agile methods are embraced. They surveyed 52 software development companies. A large size, combined with bureaucracy and centralization, was identified as a negative influence on project success. Similarly, Livermore in 2008 surveyed 112 software professionals and found that corporate size had a negative impact on implementation success. A limitation of these studies is that they asked participants to rate the expected impact of organization size rather than measuring that impact more directly. In effect, these studies could have simply measured a bias similar to the one I have that I noted in the introduction. These studies also focused more on agile transformation than ongoing performance. Another interesting study is offered by Abrar et al. From 2020. They reviewed scientific studies to identify patterns in challenges and demotivators in agile adoptions based on the size of the parent organization. Few studies have investigated agile adoption in small to medium companies. In small companies, lack of communication was the most frequently identified challenge, which actually happened in 100% of the cases. For medium-sized organizations, this was a lack of agile expertise, which was 50% of the organizations. Continuous testing was also raised as an issue for medium-sized organizations, but also integration testing, as well as management support. More studies have investigated large organizations. There, the biggest challenge are a lack of agile expertise for 38%, continuous testing and integration for 34%, and low management support for 22%. What connects these results is that management support is clearly a big challenge, as is tooling. This also aligns with our finding that management support varies wildly across teams regardless of organization size. The fact that continuous integration and testing are commonly raised also fits. This is particularly an area where a lot of skills and technologies come into play. Dickert, Passivara and Lassenius in 2016 inventoried 52 academic studies of the challenges that are faced by large organizations when they adopt Agile. They identified a total of 35 factors and categorized them into 9 themes. The most important themes were the difficulty of implementing Agile, integrating non-technical skills, resistance to change, and requirements gathering. This study also emphasized many success factors, most importantly management support, but also alignment of teams and management and training and coaching. When we take all this together, scientific literature sees more challenges in the adoption and application of agile methods for larger organizations than for smaller ones. And this probably fits the experience of most practitioners. But while this may be true for the initial implementation, our results suggest that teams in large organizations can be just as effective as teams in smaller organizations, and maybe they're even better able to satisfy stakeholders. This is certainly a novel and surprising result. It should also reassure larger organizations that size doesn't matter all that much, and may even work to their benefit if they work hard to leverage the extra resources, skills, technologies, and capabilities they have over smaller organizations with fewer resources. And that brings us to some conclusions. My belief that Scrum and Agile work better in small organizations is clearly not supported by the evidence. The contrary seems to be true. According to our analyses, Scrum and Agile teams seem more effective at satisfying stakeholders in large but not very large organizations. The optimum size seems to be somewhere between 500 and 5,000 employees. This may be because such large organizations have a better mix of technologies, resources, and skills to leverage Scrum and Agile teams more effectively, whereas small organizations may lag them, and even larger organizations may constrain them with too much bureaucracy and red tape. So, while the good news of this episode is that Scrum and Agile teams can work effectively in organizations of any size, this doesn't happen automatically. But larger organizations have one clear advantage over smaller ones. Their economy of scale provides them with more resources, skills, technologies, and capabilities. The challenge for them is to leverage those effectively to make Scrum and Agile teams more effective. Good luck! And that brings us to the end of today's episode. The research we had to do for this episode took about 25 hours. If you think this is valuable and you would like to encourage us to do more of it, you can always support us with a monthly donation. Go to patreon.com/liberators to learn more. Your research is, or your support is, what makes the research possible, and you can also support us by signing up for one of our paid plans at columinity.com. This is the tool that we're creating to help teams improve continuously based on data and scientific insights, and it's also the source of data we used for this episode. Having settled that, I want to thank you for taking a moment out of a busy day to learn something new, and I hope to see you again for our next episode. Bye-bye!